Wildwood Flower, that is Susie Boggess from her 2011 release, American Folk Songbook. Susie Boggess will be at the South Florida Folk Festival. She's the main performer for the Saturday night show, January 28th, and Susie Boggess is on the line. Hi, Susie.
Hi there. How's it going?
Great. Well, it's so exciting having you down for the Folk Festival because I know you as a country star. So, and you just did a Wildwood Flower from your folk album, so it's hard to pin you down.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think, you know, there was a, we called it the great credibility scare in country music there for a while, where there was a lot of us who had been influenced by different styles of music. And, you know, I guess that you'd probably say that I started out as a folky and then, you know, kind of got more interested in other aspects of music. I've been influenced by lots of styles over the year just from, you know, making friends and collaborating with other people. So I'm still evolving. How's that?
Well, you came along in the 90s when country music really came into its own. Country music and pop music, it was hard to tell the difference, and you kind of rode that wave.
Yeah, it was a lovely time. You know, I think about it, you know, so many of my peers from that time period, I still hang out with them. I still love to hear their new music. There was a lot of us that were kind of troubadours. You know, a lot of us had started out in the, the coffee houses and the little bars and things like that. And so, you know, we all had sort of that sensibility of, you know, we knew how to promote ourselves, you know, put up our own posters and put on a show, you know.
Well, tell me about yourself, your musical background, where you're from.
Well, I'm from Illinois originally, you know, the home of country music.
Well, yes.
I grew up in a little cornfield town outside of Moline, Illinois, and my dad was a machinist at International Harvester. So that kind of began my early years of learning about country music was the fact that my dad would carpool with these guys and they would listen to a lot of country music because it really sort of told the stories of people like us in our little town. So, you know, that part of country, I think, really does smack of folk in that, you know, in that their stories and their they relate a lot to people's real lives.
When did you and why did you move to Nashville?
Well, I graduated college with a degree in art, and I had it in my head that I was going to drive around the country until I found the perfect place to stop and start a jewelry studio because I make stuff out of silver and gold. And so I thought this is going to be the way that I get myself around so I can see the country. So I'll play music from town to town, which I did for about 5 years. And then one day I just sort of realized, hey, you know what? I'm actually already sort of doing life. So maybe this is what I'm going to do. And I figured out that I didn't have any health insurance. And I, you know, I'd been living on about $8,000 a year, just, you know, kind of hand to mouth and gas into the car and, you know, heading all over the place. And I thought, you know, I got to decide if I'm going to do this thing or not. So that's when I moved to Nashville. And I was a late bloomer. You know, I didn't even move to Nashville until I was 28 years old. So, you know, when people say, oh, you have to get there when you're 11, it's really not true.
So where did your big break come?
After I moved to Nashville, about a year, I was playing in a rib joint called Tony Roma's there, and about a year later I got a job at Dollywood when they first opened the park, and so it was, you know, really the first season. And while I was there, some folks from Capitol Records actually came over and saw me play. I'd done a tape for the to sell at the park, and that got into the hands of some folks at Capitol, and they, I mean, you know, just like a dream, like, you know, you think, oh, a talent scout came and found me. And, you know, it really actually happened that way.
But you have to assume that Dolly Parton heard you.
She certainly did, and she was really wonderful to me. You know, when I was approached by Capitol, I made a meeting with her at her apartment there on the grounds, and she already had known Jim Fogelsong, who's the person who signed me, and just said, he's a real gentleman, he's going to take good care of you, and yeah, I would jump at it, and, you know, kind of gave me some sisterly advice, and you know, it's about, you know, taking care of yourself and making sure you don't fall into any pitfalls, and she just couldn't have been nicer.
I'm speaking with Susie Boggess, who's going to be at the South Florida Folk Festival Saturday night, January 28th. So, did you have any pitfalls?
No, not really. I think, you know, the only thing that ever happened for me was I did have some vocal problems during the, you know, the big arena days because, you know, we were working so many days and a lot of times we did, you know, I have to get up at 6 o'clock and do radio and then, you know, jump on to the next city and, you know, we'd get on the bus and just sing and talk and I wasn't aware of what was going on, that I wasn't drinking enough water or that I wasn't taking care of my stomach like I should have, because when you're riding on a bumpy bus and you got reflux, you're in trouble vocally. So that's the only thing that ever sort of was, you know, scary for me, was that I did go through a stint of being hoarse all the time. And I thought, oh, my gosh, have I ruined my voice? But it came right back as soon as I figured all that stuff out.
It can't be understated. I mean, unlike most folk artists that I deal with, you have some platinum and gold albums, and you did very well.
Yes, thank goodness. I mean, seriously, that time period in country radio and such, you know, they got us out there to so many people. And I also have to give credit to the Nashville Network, because at that time, because there were so many younger artists that were sort of coming on the scene, you know, they call us the class of 89 sometimes. You know, we were, every couple of weeks, we were on one show or another on the Nashville Network, and people were tuning in because they were interested. There was a lot of variety in, you know, what was being played on the radio, because we had all been influenced and inspired by different little, you know, I don't know if you want to say spices from different music. So everybody kind of had their own sound and their definitely their own take on these lyrical records, you know.
Well, I'm going to play a song now from one of your first albums. Was Aces your first album?
Aces was not my first album. It was actually my third album. It was the first one that really, you know, I guess, you know, caught on out there. I had some success with my first album, which was called Somewhere Between, but Aces, you know, went platinum, and again, that was right at that time in the early 90s when everything was just kind of open.
I'm going to play...
I put congas on my country record, so... I felt like that was pretty risky.
Wait, so did the producer say, what are you doing, Susie?
Kind of. Well, I actually was producing, so I had a co-producer who was the head of my label, and he was the kind of person who gave you just enough rope to hang yourself. So he allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do, and fortunately at the time the radio didn't close down on that.
Well, I'm not going to play the original version from your album Aces that came out 25 years ago. I'm going to play a cut from your brand new album where you redid the album. Why did you redo the album?
Well, you know, because I'm on the road now in a much more acoustic way. You know, my I have just a trio, and I felt like when we were having younger fans or new fans come, they were seeing a show that was, you know, kind of more of an intimate kind of acoustic show, more almost more folky. And then they had this huge production that they were taking home that was 25 years old, you know, and I just felt like in order to really, let people take home more of an experience that they just had, it made more sense for me to do it with the guys that I play with and supplement with other members of my band that have, been with me when I play, sometimes I'll play with symphonies and stuff and I'll have a bigger band. But for the most part, we just do a small combo.
Well, let's listen to one of the songs from Susie Boggess's new album, Aces Redux, Redo. This is Aces
Redux. It kind of just means revisited or revitalized,
So here is Outbound Plane.
Outbound plane, cause I've been here before and somehow this doesn't feel the same. Well, talk is cheap, so we could talk all night long and we may never figure out just where your love went wrong. And I don't want to be standing here and I don't want to be talking here and I don't really care who's to blame. Cause if love won't fly on its own free will, it's gonna catch that outbound.
Outbound Plane, that's Susie Boggess from her latest release, Aces Redux. I have Susie Boggess on the line. She's going to be in South Florida headlining the South Florida Folk Festival Saturday night, January 28th. Susie, was that a Tom Russell song?
That is a Tom Russell, Nancy Griffith song. And there's not any more folky folks out there than those guys. So, people with different backgrounds and different influences. That was a big hit for me. And I think people really enjoyed the complexity of the lyric and everything. But for me, I love a song that sounds really happy musically. But when you get into the crux of the what it's talking about, you find out that this is really not a happy song at all. You find out that it's, sort of a, kind of a nasty breakup song. And I like that about it because you think, happy, happy little song. And then you think, bye, see ya.
Well, that the album was first released on 25 years ago on Aces. How did you know of that song?
I knew of it because I owned the record that Nancy recorded it on and I covered it. And the record that she put it on, I think, was maybe a year or two before that. I really loved that song. I really wanted to cut that badly.
How come it became a hit for you and not for Nancy?
I'm not sure they released it as a single, for one thing. The timing, sometimes that happens with records, just might have maybe been a little too soon for that style, when she would put it on her record. Because I think that really was like 88 or 89, something like that.
Well, speaking of which, Susie, I'm very curious about the music business. You've had such success. How hard is it to achieve that success again?
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't say it's easy. It's not an easy thing, because a lot of things have changed in the way that we listen to music and we buy music from that time period.
Is there pressure on you to try to achieve that success again?
No, not really. I mean, for me, it really is more about just making sure that I am, able to continue doing what I love to do, which is travel around the country and different other countries and keep an audience that is excited to see me and, ready to participate. That's one of the things that's really great about having a small unit, we call it guerrilla touring, but, we just hop on a plane, to the UK and play in Scotland and England and Ireland, and, you know, we play Spain and Italy, and, you know, there's only four of us traveling.
Well, I'm reading your bios. It says you took some time off to raise a family. You still have that family, obviously. How do you handle your children while you're touring?
Well, I don't have anyone at home. I actually only have one son, and he's a senior in college now.
Oh, so, you're kidding. They're all grown up now.
Yeah, so now I can, you know, really get back on the road. And, you know, as I jokingly, you know, say, I've got a kid in college, so I have to work more. So, yeah, but it's really kind of cool because now my husband can travel with me as well. And it wasn't that I wasn't working or recording. I still recorded and did, you know, maybe 40 to 45 dates a year while I was raising my son. But when he got to be about 15, he was kind of like, hey, Mom, it's okay if you go back on the road.
Susie Boggess is going to be playing in South Florida at the South Florida Folk Festival. So do you miss playing the big arenas?
No, I don't. You know, I'm certainly grateful for all that experience and for all the folks I got in front of. But I never really did fit in there. It was a really hard thing for me. And there was sort of a disconnect for me. And I tried everything I did. We put great big giants. 12-inch microphones out into the audience so that I could hear questions and, you know, respond to people out there. But I never got that feeling that I had when I could stay after the show and talk to people, and they would turn me on to new music to listen to and new songs. And I really missed the community part of it. I mean, you know, there was plenty of community backstage with lots of friends and musicians, and I still keep in touch and even play music with a lot of my peers from that time period. But I just prefer the small theaters, and the festivals can be that way too, you know, because you can talk backstage, but you can also hang around after the show and sign and talk to people. And that part of it, I kind of missed that community.
Have you been to many folk festivals?
Not a ton. I mean, I went to them a lot before I moved to Nashville. You know, it was a place for me to get my feet wet, and I played at the campfires and in circles. But, you know, I've been to Kerrville a few times. I played the Philadelphia Folk Fest, and, you know, we do a lot of more like bluegrassy festivals. There's one at the Delaware Valley, one that we've been back and back to, and quite a few in Canada as well. But, you know, more of the festivals that are kind of eclectic, where you might have Sam Bush and Suzanne Vega and, you know, people all, you know, all kind of mixed together, you know.
I have one last question for you, Susie.
Sure.
You say the music industry is changing. It has quite a bit. So how do you survive? What's the main difference, and how are you surviving in the music industry?
Really, it's the road. I mean, there's a blessing I have is that, you know, I travel around in a camper for 5 years before I moved to Nashville. So it's very, it's like going home for me to travel in a smaller situation in a combo and do shows like I'm doing. I think it probably is harder for those artists that really never had those humble beginnings, you know. I imagine that it's hard for somebody that who went straight from singing demos in the studio to having three buses or whatever and trying to figure out how do you scale back from that. But I think those of us who are still out there really pounding the pavement and stuff, most of us really had some starter things where we actually walked in and booked ourselves and then made the posters, put up the posters. And in my case, I used to go down to like the town square and just play songs and tell people, hey, I'm going to play tonight down at Grumpy's Bar or whatever. And, you know, when you have had that in your background, it doesn't feel strange to have to do it again.
Susie Boggess will be at the South Florida Folk Festival Saturday night, January 28th. It sounds like you're a perfect fit for folk music.
I am a perfect fit. We're going to have a lot of fun. I have some of the most amazing musicians with me, and if there's nothing else that you take away from it, you will see three people that can make a lot of music.
Susie Boggess, I'm going to end with one more song, again from your album Aces Redux. Tell me about Save Yourself.
Oh, this is the best Nielsen Chapman song, one that I love. Like I say, anytime, I love a sassy story. You know, this is another sort of a breakup song, or basically, I can't take care of you anymore. You have to take care of yourself. And Beth Nielsen Chapman's one of my favorite writers in the whole wide world anyway, but she's also a good friend of mine. And this one actually has, a little bit of a jazzy feel to it. You know, it's got that the little bit of bouncy, jazzy R&B kind of undertone, and I love that about it.
Susie Boggess, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you so much. I had a wonderful time chatting with you, Michael.
You're gonna have-